The Besant story this week is the one I want financial listeners to pay close attention to, because deploying three distinct policy tools simultaneously, yen intervention, bond sale guidance adjustments, and a public defense of Federal Reserve independence, is the kind of coordinated operation that Treasury secretaries reserve for moments of genuine market stress, not routine management. Wall Street is reading this as a unified push to cap long-term Treasury yields, which have been rising in ways that threaten to choke off the economic momentum the administration wants to run into the midterms.
The yen intervention piece specifically cost an estimated $34 to $36 billion in the joint operation with Japan, and the yen has already drifted back toward pre-intervention levels. Currency strategists are now calling the operation built to fail, which sounds harsh, but has a technical justification. When structural economic forces are driving a currency move, in Japan's case, the persistent interest rate differential between Japan and the U.S., intervention can slow the move, but rarely reverses it sustainably. You're spending tens of billions of dollars to buy time, not to solve the underlying problem.
The bond sale guidance tweak is the more technically interesting tool. By signaling changes in how the Treasury will schedule its debt issuance, Besant is trying to reduce the supply pressure on long-term bonds, which would push yields down mechanically, more demand relative to supply. It's a quiet lever, but a real one. The problem is that the market for long-term treasuries is watching the fiscal picture, the deficit trajectory, the debt ceiling dynamics, and adjusting its yield demands accordingly. Issuance scheduling helps at the margin. It doesn't fix the structural question of whether the U.S. is borrowing sustainably.
Bank of America's midterm election warning to equity investors deserves context. BofA is telling clients that a Democratic wave in the midterms could reverse the current bull market, specifically because of potential reversals on tax policy and regulatory rollbacks. The S&P 500 futures are at roughly 7,786 this morning, up fractionally, which is roughly where the index settled after its best week since April. The political risk premium that BofA is pricing in is a genuine consideration, but I'd note that these midterm forecasting calls have a mixed track record.
The tech volatility hitting dot-com era extremes is the framing I find most provocative. Comparing current tech sector price swings to the 1999 to 2001 period is a serious claim. At dot-com peak, the NASDAQ was trading at price-to-earnings ratios that simply had no connection to underlying business fundamentals. Today's leading AI names have actual revenue, actual customers, actual infrastructure. But the valuation premiums and the speed with which they're collapsing and recovering do rhyme with what we saw in 2000.
Investors fleeing to Europe is the related story there. European equities have been outperforming U.S. tech on a risk-adjusted basis when you account for the volatility swings. That rotation is both a sentiment signal and a portfolio management response to the kind of intraday swings that make risk managers nervous regardless of the underlying story.
Musk's net worth crossing $800 billion again after SpaceX's post-earnings rally is a data point that deserves its own quiet moment of contemplation. That is a level of individual wealth concentration that has no historical analog. For context, the GDP of the Netherlands in 2025 was approximately $1.1 trillion. One person's paper net worth is approaching the annual economic output of a significant European nation. The political and regulatory implications of that kind of wealth concentration and the antitrust questions it raises are going to define a decade of policy debates.
California nurses endorsing a billionaire tax as wealthy residents flee the state captures a genuine policy tension. The nurses' unions argue that the concentration of wealth requires redistribution. The wealthy argue that punitive taxation accelerates the very flight that reduces the tax base. Both of these things can be simultaneously true, and California is running the experiment in real time. The outcome matters for every other high-tax state watching closely.